This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast for Week 5. Survivors ready? Go! The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group as of July 1st, 2023, signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida. There is no more permanent alimony. Permanent alimony does not exist in the state of Florida anymore. Gentlemen, if you are paying permanent alimony, you can get in front of a judge and stop paying permanent alimony effective July 1st, 2023 in the state of Florida. I would suggest saving some money going forward and getting a free consultation from Brandon Legal Group to stop paying permanent alimony. 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Click the box for a free consultation to stop paying permanent alimony. They are a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service can mean many other things as well: divorce, family law, child support adjustment. But Brandon Legal Group wants me to let you know that as of July 1st, 2023 in the state of Florida, there is no more permanent alimony. If you are paying that, you can stop doing so. Call Brandon Legal Group or visit brandonlegalgroup.com for a free consultation to stop paying permanent alimony. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Social media at toddwright2121, Twitter X, at ToddWright2121 Instagram, or we could possibly be friends on Facebook as long as you don't ask me to like additional pages. I am simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. We move into Week 5 Survivor, recording this early week. Just to get ahead of some other things I have to do, I'm hosting Sold Out Golf Tournament Todd Wright Tour XLIII, my 43rd event since October of 2015 at West Chase Golf Club this weekend. So I've got plenty of things to do, and I'm at the beck and call of over 100 golfers as the week goes on. So let's get some thoughts out there as it relates to Survivor through Week 5. It was a fairly harmless week in Survivor as it related to people being eliminated with a losing selection. There was some sweating done by those who had the Eagles coming off a Monday night game, playing at home as a big favorite against a division opponent. These were the red flags there. Even though the Eagles were and are an unbeaten team. Ron Rivera, and I understand his reasoning, not choosing to go for two in overtime. Hey, he could choose to go for two. They don't score. They had the ball first in overtime, and the Eagles defense made a quick three and out. But almost 25, as a matter of fact, is it 25? 86, yeah, 25% in my league of remaining survivors in Week 4 were on the Eagles. So they had to sweat the Redskins' final drive, sorry, Commanders, which is called Washington's final drive, Washington winning the coin flip, Washington having the ball first, but then the Eagles make it happen and win the game. So there was sweating there with about 25% in my league, as there were a good percentage in the Circa Survivor League out of Las Vegas. The majority of entries in my league, including mine in terms of my entry, were on the 49ers, who defeated Arizona by double digits. Huge game for fantasy purposes as well for Christian McCaffrey, as the Niners remain unbeaten. There are only two unbeatens now, as the third unbeaten Miami, who had minimal action going to Buffalo for that game, even off the 70-point performance. They were an underdog. They were on the road. I think I saw some number about teams that win that big 1 week, one in six, something like that, either straight up or against the spread the following week. Some of that is schedule relative, but nevertheless, Miami falls from the ranks of the unbeaten. Josh Allen struggled against that Jets defense. Dak Prescott struggled against that Jets defense. And Sunday night, yeah, I guess there was some sweating. I apologize for forgetting about this. After Kansas City jumped out 17-0, Kansas City made their backers sweat at a tune of about, 20... a little over 10% in my league, as the Chiefs end up winning by 3 in a Sunday night game. But back to the Bills, who have soundly beaten 3 straight opponents. I used them in week 2, not putting a lot into what happened in week 1. And then the Bills defeat Miami, which head-to-head is going to mean a lot at the top of that AFC East. I saw the results from Circa Survivor and just saw some 2% and some 1% of those playing the long game, hoping, you know, for carnage from San Francisco potentially losing, the Eagles potentially losing, the Chiefs potentially losing, unless for some reason those players had used all those teams already through just 3 weeks, which seems far-fetched. I think I saw a 2% on Pittsburgh as the Texans take another victim after their win that wiped out, 40% roughly in some survivor leagues the previous week against the Jaguars. And there were some that had New Orleans against the Buccaneers. I think I saw 1% roughly on that. So just not much in terms of volatility with eliminations in week 4 survivor. I know in my league, it was less than a handful that went out, one on Miami, one on Cincinnati, one on Pittsburgh, and then you get the one, right? Every week someone doesn't submit a pick. So we move on to week 5, and I go back to my research in early August where I cross-referenced expected win totals with game spreads for the season and just saw what popped. And sure, some things change, but still, based on that research, there have been a lot of winners there through the first 4 weeks. For example, when I did all that in early August, the two games that I highlighted for week 4 were San Francisco and Philadelphia. Those were the top two plays in week 4. Both of them won. In the end, I went with San Francisco. I liked the extra rest coming off the previous week Thursday night game. And I thought, while Arizona had and continues to be competitive, there was no desperation factor with the Cardinals coming off a win. Granted, they were a divisional opponent on the road. which can be a red flag. So San Francisco and Philly stood out to me in early August. In early August, there were two games that stood out to me based on those numbers then. One, not as much as the other, because it involved a road team to play. And that was this week's game between the Bengals and the aforementioned Arizona Cardinals. Flat out, I think they have the same record, right? Both, what, one win? Yeah. The Cardinals have looked better through the first month than the Bengals. It's stunning. A little bit of that is the spirited play of the Cardinals. And a lot of that is the poor play of the Cincinnati Bengals, who were just routed at Tennessee by the Titans in week four. The Bengals are favored. I'm looking, as I do every week when I do this, and for my own purposes, senior sports betting reporter Patrick Everson has a weekly updated column on VegasInsider.com with the line spreads, betting trends for every game. He updated this about an hour ago. We're recording this in the 10 a.m. hour Eastern time on Tuesday, October 3rd. Patrick, you are the best. And he shows the Bengals as a three-point choice on the road at Arizona, according to the spread, and the Bengals a minus 166 money line play. I know I'm not giving that much of a look this week, because the Bengals have problems, and just that one win in week three certainly didn't solve their problems. It's going to take multiple weeks of multiple wins for the Bengals to really show a lot of us who had faith in them coming into the season that we believe they're a good team, because right now they're not a good team. And if you ask me right now, if we're just, let's say Gil Alexander and I from VEASAN are betting a nice lunch on this game, and Gil says, Todd, who do you want? I'll take the other side straight up. I'd take Arizona straight up as a home dog in this game against Cincinnati. That's who I'd just take in the game. There's no way this is on my survivor radar, and I don't think it should be on yours. If you've made it to week five, you've done enough. Why would you put your faith in a team that has shown so little and doesn't look the part of what they've been the last 2 years in the Cincinnati Bengals? The other game that popped for me when I did the research in August was the Lions. And the Lions this week come off a Thursday night game that they won at Lambeau. So they have extra rest going into Sunday at home against the Carolina Panthers. Looking at Patrick Everson's column on VegasInsider.com, as of Tuesday morning, the Lions were an 8.5-point favorite, second biggest number of the week. We'll talk about the biggest one in a moment. That's the second biggest favorite of the week, and they are a minus 420 money line play. Interesting that the total is 45. Are the Lions going to score all of that? I still remember being in Vegas a number of years ago, and there was an over-under on, I think it was an Alabama game. And Alabama hit the over on their own. I think they even had a shutout and they hit the over on their own. It was in the 50s. So you can make a joke here that that total at 45, that is that something the Lions are going to do on their own, although the numbers suggested at least going into the game against Cousins and Justin Jefferson, the Panthers pass defense had played well. But the Lions do have extra rest. I think we'd all agree the Lions look like a good football team. You know, they just beat the Packers head to head. The Vikings just beat the Panthers for their only win. And the Bears are one of two winless teams in the league. So the Lions right now are playing from the top of their division down. And they get David Montgomery back. Health-wise, you know, nothing flies off the page here negatively involving key guys. And Montgomery ran so hard against the Packers. So the Panthers as a winless team, we'll talk about the other winless team in a moment. Here's a disturbing number for Frank Reich. And I like Frank Reich. Frank Reich's last seven games as an NFL head coach. So his last three with Indy before he was fired midseason. And he's now got four in the books this season with Carolina. In Frank Reich's last seven games as a head coach, this is all within a calendar year. He's 0-7 with seven offensive touchdowns. And Frank's an offensive guy. So I'll leave that there. Again, my research in August said Detroit looks like a worthwhile play going into week five. They are not the biggest number. The biggest number, as we speak on Tuesday morning in the 10 a.m. Eastern time hour, reflecting what happened on Monday night when Daniel Jones was sacked 11 times by the Seattle Seahawks. The Giants have played eight halves of football this year. They've only done anything in one half. The second half at Arizona, week two. They've been just blown out in seven other halves of football, unless a team is calling off the dogs, pretty much. Saquon Barkley's status is a factor this week. But the Giants do go to Miami. Dolphins coming off their first loss of the year. That will motivate them. They were humbled a bit by the Buffalo Bills. They get to play Buffalo again in Miami coming up. Not like Miami lost the season, but you know, after the way things were going for the Dolphins the first few weeks, they're not happy with that loss in Buffalo. They come home and play a Giants team that has done very little right this season, that may or may not have a healthy Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Line reflects biggest spread of the week. Again, 10.5 as of Tuesday morning. Dolphins minus 520 as a money line play. Of note, Dolphins host Carolina the following week. So anti-Carolina play comes into focus as one of the two winless teams And the other, of course, are the Chicago Bears. They play on Thursday night on the road against Ron Rivera and the Commanders. As of Tuesday morning, Commanders are 6.5-point favorite, minus 295 on the money line. Let's see if the Commanders, as of now, are the third choice this week. They are. When just looking at the best money line odds, the Washington Commanders have the third best money line odds as of Tuesday morning. So that anti-Bears play is in play this week for those of you who have not used the Commanders. I have used the Commanders, so I can't look at this game for personal purposes. I was one of those who went anti-Arizona in week one with them going on the road with a brand new quarterback. That was kind of barely a trade, right? Or did Cleveland outright cut Dobbs? It was either a cut or a trade involving an exchange of 6th and 7th round picks. And there was some sweating there, because as Arizona has done in a lot of their games, they execute, they play. But Washington outlasted Arizona in week one. So if you were one of those like me that went anti-Arizona for the opener, Washington is not a consideration, not available to us as the third highest money line choice in week five, with the Bears on a short week going on the road to play the Commanders, coming off an overtime loss to the Eagles. As far as anti-Bear sentiment, we just talked about the Panthers over the next 2 weeks. The Bears then go home to play the Vikings the following Sunday, then are home against the Raiders. Those are two pretty bad teams. It's tough for me to get my head around picking bad teams on the road, even against a bad team like the Bears. Then the Bears do go on the road to the Chargers on October 29th. The Chargers overcoming another ridiculous failed 4th and 1 in their own end, as called by Brandon Staley. Good God. And Justin Herbert has the bad middle finger, insert your own joke here, on his left hand. That currently is a Sunday night game, by the way. I don't know if NBC can or will flex out of that game. Would they want a potentially 0-7 Bears against a, I don't know, what, 4-3, 3-4 Charger team? Actually, Chargers are off a week, so they'll only have 6 wins by then. So we'll see. And then just of note, November 5th. No, I'm sorry, we got to go to November 9th. Currently, this is a Thursday night game. I think Amazon can get out of this. I think November 9th is Panthers at Bears. Right now, both teams are winless. We got over a month to go, but that's not exactly the definition of prime, if those two are going to be on the same field. If you're looking for someone else, and for whatever reason, you're staying away from the three biggest money line choices in Survivor this week that we've already talked about: Dolphins at home, Lions at home, Commanders at home. Your next biggest play, based on the money line, it's close. Chiefs on road against Vikings, -235 as of Tuesday morning, a 5.5-point choice. Or we drop down to a -230 money line with two teams, one road, one home. Ravens at Steelers. I would imagine this is going to get some play from those who did not use the Ravens week one. I think that's the only spot where people would have used the Ravens at this point. Some use them week three and are out, so that doesn't apply. Because the Steelers will likely start Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback in that game. My red flag is it's a divisional game. I'm not a big believer in Lamar Jackson anyway. Ravens are on the road. And Mike Tomlin just, more than 50% of the time, he wins regular season games. And some of those regular season games he wins, he's not expected to win. So there's a Tomlin factor there that will keep me off the Ravens this week. The home team that is the -230 money line that you could consider, the Bills. However, the Bills are the designated home team. I believe the game's at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. There will be no Toy Story Sunday Fun Day on this game. Sorry, kids. Bills are a -230 money line favorite against the Jaguars, but it's a London game. The game is not in Buffalo. The Jags have been over in London for a week longer than the Bills, so you input the Bills' travel and play that card. Are the Bills a better team than the Jaguars right now? Yeah. But do you really want to play the Bills in this spot in an international game where the Jaguars have already been in that city off a win? Just some red flags there. As it relates to going with the Bills. But again, if you were looking beyond the top three plays based on money line and spread, there were the next three for various reasons. I can't even consider Buffalo. I wouldn't this week based on those factors because I used the Bills in week two. So there are six games. If you have thoughts on any of the others, I just sort of looking down. Eagles are a -205 money line play at the Rams, going cross country there. The Rams technically, I guess, never play a home game, but it's still a cross country trip for the opponent. Although the Eagles will have plenty of fans in the stadium for that game. Send me any survivor thoughts. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Congratulations on getting through the first month of the NFL season. I wish you well. Please wish me well for week five. And we'll talk again next week on the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group.